We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello from Minneapolis. Megan Gower here with Calvin Wetzel, and we've gotten a little bit of sleep, not enough sleep, since last night's Final Four games. So coming to you with another version of this podcast, hopefully slightly more coherent thoughts on what happened last night, though I've only had half a cup of coffee, so no promises there. And then also looking ahead to Sunday's game, national championship matchup between UConn and South Carolina. Kind of funny in a way that, like, the way that we got here, I don't think is anything like people expected, especially for this UConn team, but probably the national championship matchup most people would have guessed going into the season.
Yeah, I feel like this was pretty much everyone's clear number one and number two in November, and that South Carolina, that never changed. Right. UConn, that changed a lot. I think they dropped out of the top 10 at one point.
Yep.
And now we're back, so full circle.
Yeah, so kind of fun to come back full circle to what we expected for the season, obviously. A lot of reasons why UConn went up and down this year, but they are back in a national championship game for the first time in 5 years.
Which is
a long
50
time.
50 years,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, chance to win their first since 2016. South Carolina with a chance to win their first since 2017 and their second overall. So should be a really fun matchup on Sunday. But not to get ahead of ourselves, we're talking at least a little bit about last night's game, starting with Louisville, South Carolina. This game, South Carolina came out with the first punch for sure. I think there was like 11-2 at one point. Like, Louisville was doing well defensively, but just couldn't get anything going on the offensive end.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, what you said about the first punch is a good way to describe it, because I think there were a lot of things that Louisville actually did pretty well in this game and stretches that they played pretty well, but it felt like they were always kind of reacting to South Carolina. South Carolina got out ahead, and in terms of that chess match, it felt like Jeff Walls was making the second move every time to Dawn Staley. You know, like at the beginning, you know, Bree Beal just locked down Haley Van Lith, and really South Carolina's game plan was obviously to take her away. And so then Louisville reacted and they started going to more with Kiana Smith. But after Beal blocked Van Lith a couple times, and she just clearly didn't look the same as she did in the first four games. And Kiana Smith had like a really good third quarter. I thought she came out and hit some jumpers, but I mean, by that point it was Louisville was playing catch up, and there were just so many other moves like that, that I felt like Louisville adjusted, but they just did too late.
Yeah, and Emily Engler was huge for them too. A lot of credit to her for keeping Louisville even in the game for a while. But yeah, I mean, South Carolina came out through the first punch. Louisville actually did take the lead in the second quarter, which was kind of baffling. It felt like Aaliyah Boston just didn't touch the ball for like 10 minutes in the paint, which is something I think we see South Carolina do a little too often for a team that has the National Player of the Year on it. But I mean, it just, like that stretch there where they did that, Louisville was able to come back, but then I think she only had, Boston had five shot attempts in the first half. She had many more in the second half. They really went to her. She finishes with 23 and 18 and then 4 assists as well. Just is pretty much, I mean, as she has been all season long, the reason South Carolina is in the national championship game.
Yeah, I think the 4 assists was huge because mm-hmm. other people were hitting shots too. And we talked about this during the game that if South Carolina's hitting shots from the perimeter and they were, they finished 6 for 17 after they missed a couple down the stretch. They were shooting better than that for a while. There's really no one that can beat them if they're going to shoot well. I think they were in the 40s from three at one point. If they're getting in the 40s from three, there's no one in the country that can beat them. So that'll be a key tomorrow too, not to get ahead of ourselves. But you have to hope South Carolina shoots at least a human percentage from three.
Yeah, I mean, Zaya Cook was 2 of 5 from three, and Destiny Henderson was 3 of 6 from three. Zaya Cook, 4 from 8 from field, has to be the best she's played in a while. It's just really struggled with her shot this season. So their guards were good last night, and that was the difference maker. I think as much as you're going to put, obviously, to Boston's 23 and 18, like the two of them hitting down their shots is huge for this team. And then also Bria Beal, 12 points again. She had 12 in their win over Creighton as well. So getting going a little bit offensively there to give them kind of that fourth option, which I think could be important going into Sunday, because I think like Cook, Henderson, and Boston is probably enough if Cook and Henderson hit their shots, but having a fourth option I think is going to be important against a team like UConn that can really score from every position on the floor.
Yeah, because that's always the game plan against South Carolina is, you know, pack the paint, try to take away Boston. You know, you're not going to leave Destiny Henderson open outside, but some of those other shooters, maybe you're willing to just kind of let them roam out there and really help hard off of them. And if you're not able to do that anymore, if they're getting those third, fourth options, you know, knocking down their shots and kind of forcing you to stay attached a little bit more, like there's just nothing you can do, because I don't know anyone who can guard Aaliyah Boston one-on-one.
No, I don't think there's anyone in the country that can, and UConn certainly can't either. So they're not going to be able to, like, Boston's going to get her points on Saturday. I really think she will. Like, I think it's going to come down to what can everyone else do as well, because she can't win the game by herself.
No, definitely not against the I mean, we've seen her do it at yes. times this year against certain teams, but not against UConn.
Yeah, you can't do it against UConn or any team that you're going to face in a national championship game. So
exactly.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key, is as much as obviously Boston is going to be the reason that this team wins, everyone else has to step up too if they're going to actually win the game. And then flipping to the second game of the night, UConn Stanford, which ended, I think, about absolutely no one would have predicted. I mean, just like an ugly game. There's no nice way to put it. It was an ugly game. Neither team played particularly well. I don't think we saw the best of either of these teams from what we've seen this season. But UConn does just a little bit more and comes away with the win.
Yeah, I thought basically these two teams kind of got ahead of themselves a little bit, and they both played like they were being guarded by South Carolina, but they weren't being guarded by South Carolina yet. They looked like they were on offense. And so, I really hope we get a better game tomorrow, I'll just be honest. Yeah. But we did see, you know, I don't know if you can necessarily give the Bigs full credit for this, but I don't want to also just like minimize it either, that they mostly stayed out of foul trouble. I think Aaliyah Edwards did have 4, but I don't think she got her 4th too early. And obviously a lot of that was Stanford really didn't attack those matchups very well. I think they probably could have gone at it a little bit more, especially like there was a few times when they did go to Cameron Brink in the post and she had success, and then they didn't do it again for 7 minutes, and then they did it again once, and then they didn't do it again for a while. And so, you know, there's definitely a lot of reasons why that happened, other than just UConn's bigs maybe being good at defending without fouling. But they stayed on the court, so you have to give them credit, especially Olivia Nelson-Adota.
Yeah, Liv was huge for them down the stretch, and I think was important as a kind of a turnaround for her in her senior season. Last year, that Arizona game that they lost, she was 0-7 from the floor, just played a really horrible game. And that's kind of what the first half of this game looked like from her. She played well defensively, but she wasn't playing well at all on offense, but then scored, I think, 7 or 8 points in the last 11 minutes of the game to send UConn to the national championship. So big step up from the seniors. I think for UConn, it wasn't like the Paige Beckers takeover show to get them there. It was kind of the seniors down the stretch, and then AZ Bud hitting free throws as she always does.
And Nelson Adota hitting free throws.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
She made a few big ones down the stretch as well, which is even bigger because you know AZ's going to hit it.
Yeah. So yeah, Nelson Adota too. Though I think Gino said that something along the lines of, like, he didn't want to say that there was the hand of God in her hitting those free throws, but there was definitely some intervention on that, which I guess UConn's had enough bad luck this season to deserve a little bit of good luck down the stretch here.
Well, they've had a lot of good luck in the last 30 years, yes, but they've also manufactured their own luck in the last 30 years. Too, so I'm not gonna take anything away from that.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately how you could win this game was on the glass, though. They had the rebounding advantage. I think if you look at these box scores, like, neither team did anything particularly well. Both didn't shoot the ball well. I mean, Stanford actually did a good job of taking care of the ball, which is not at all what I would have expected to be saying with UConn winning this game. The bigs were in foul trouble, like, Brink ended up with four, but it also came kind of late, so they're also, no one fouled out. But it feels like it basically comes down to the rebounding and free throw shooting.
Yeah, and Stanford's three-point shooting. They were 4 for 23, and that was after they made at least one, maybe two down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And Haley Jones being 0 for 5, to me, the bigger number is the 5.
Yeah.
That I don't – Haley Jones took 5 threes. That was more than, you know, Lexi Hull or Lacey Hull, who, you know, also didn't make any threes – or made one, excuse me, 1 for 6 combined. But – to me, I don't know why Haley Jones was – we saw her when they were down the stretch, I think in the last 2 minutes of the game when they really started to get into comeback mode. She went into that quick two mode that announcers love, but I think she did it at the right time. And she was really attacking, I think got a couple buckets late at the rim. But really would have liked to see that earlier from her if you're Stanford, I think, earlier in the fourth quarter, especially trying to get downhill and get to the basket. And I'm honestly, if she was doing that all game, I think maybe we'd be having a different conversation about the bigs for UConn fouling out.
Yeah, exactly. I think if she was going in the lane all game and Aaliyah Edwards was guarding her quite a bit, Aaliyah Edwards probably would have been on the floor at the end of the game, which would have definitely shifted things in Stanford's favor. But yeah, a lot of threes from her and threes that were early in the shot clock when they had time to find a better shot, which is not how you would think a game like this. You've got to be making smarter decisions offensively.
Yeah, I feel like as a general rule, if you're taking a shot that the other team wants you to take, you shouldn't be taking that shot. Just
right.
At least at this stage of the season.
Especially that early in the shot clock. Like at the end of the shot clock, yeah, you got to get something off. But yeah, exactly. I think Stanford took a lot of shots that UConn would like them to take. And then they took a lot of shots that they do like to take too, especially on their threes. Like they are a good 3-point shooting team, but they just could not hit them yesterday. And I don't think that was all UConn's defense. I think that was a lot of Stanford just not having their night.
No, sometimes it's just how basketball goes. The shooting, you know, the shooting variance is just, you can never predict it sometimes. Right. Sometimes really bad shooting teams come out and light it up, and sometimes the opposite happens, and that's what happened last night.
Exactly. So that's what happened last night. Looking ahead to Sunday, like we said, we've got UConn versus South Carolina, national championship game. To me, it's like, South Carolina has the better front court, Leah Boston, obviously. UConn has the better guards with AZ Fudd, Paige Beckers, Kristen Williams, probably the best backcourt in the country when fully healthy. And those two things are going to help decide it, but I think what comes down to is UConn's front court better or are South Carolina's guards better?
Yeah, and I think not only better, but I think the key is deeper.
Yeah.
And I think South Carolina's front court depth compared to UConn, especially now without Dorca, is a lot bigger advantage than maybe the backcourt depth of UConn versus South Carolina. I think UConn's has more talent in the backcourt for sure, but I don't know if UConn's backcourt is as deep as South Carolina's frontcourt.
I feel like in a way it is, in that if Avita Westbrook plays like she did last night, she hit those huge big threes for UConn. So you have her off the bench, you have Mika Mule off the bench, and Caroline Duchamp didn't really do much for UConn, but she also didn't do anything wrong when she came into the game either. So they still do have a fair amount of depth in the backcourt, but I think UConn's frontcourt depth is going to be the biggest problem here. Their bigs got into foul trouble against Stanford without Stanford really taking it in. They picked up a lot of those on the offensive end, though. They can't be setting illegal screens going into this game and picking up fouls that they really don't need to be picking up early on in the game, because if UConn can't have Olivia Nelson-Adota and Aaliyah Edwards on the floor together for most of this game, I think it's going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, you're right. UConn does have a lot of talent in the backcourt off the bench too. But it's interesting because because their front court is so thin at this point, Avina Westbrook is almost a pseudo front court player for like half of her minutes. We see her play stretches at the four, which sort of then thins out your, you know, 1-2-3 spots. So it's just kind of a domino effect. But you're right. I think the fouls are going to be a huge thing. I think we talked about this going into the Final Four game. Like, you know, they have two true bigs. They're both foul prone. One of them fouled out, the other one almost did in the prior game against NC State. Will that happen against Stanford? And then it didn't because Stanford settled for threes. Right. But South Carolina is not going to settle for threes. That is, we can bet on that. Mm-hmm. So if UConn wants to win this game, their posts are going to have to stay out of foul trouble while actually guarding the post, which they didn't have to do a whole lot of against Stanford compared to what they're going to have to do tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that starts with UConn not picking them up on the offensive end. You can't have that. That's too big of a mistake in that game. And then, yeah, finding a way to guard Aaliyah Boston without fouling. And I think the thing is, too, is if she's gonna hit her free throws. So, like, sometimes it's better to let her have the basket than pick up the foul. And they've got to be smart about that.
Right. That's the thing when you have a big who can knock down your free throws is it's really, you know, you're going to get 2 points either way. You really got to let it go sometime. But you're right. You get 10, maybe 8 fouls between those two if you want to stay on the court. You have to use all 8 of those on defense.
Right. Yeah. You can't, like, the illegal screens cannot happen. They're going to call that every time. It cannot happen.
And you also have to use all 8 of those specifically, I would say, around the rim.
Right.
Too. You can't be fouling, you know, on a hedge or something, even if it's on defense, you know, 30 feet from the basket. You have to use every foul for both of those players in the restricted arc, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's going to be key. And then if you're South Carolina, I think you need Destiny Henderson and Zaya Cook to play well again and hit their shots, because I think if UConn can slack off on the perimeter on them because they're not hitting shots, or like UConn's pretty good at perimeter defense, if they can lock them down and Aaliyah Boston kind of has to do everything, South Carolina's could get themselves in trouble with the fact that, yes, South Carolina's defense is very good, but UConn's offense has gotten much better, and they can score from all 5 positions on the floor, so they're going to find a way to score points.
Yeah, and they'll need to, because we did see this matchup earlier this year. It was supposed to be twice. We saw it once, and UConn was a healthy UConn, by the way, was held to 3 points in the fourth quarter of that one. So, That definitely can't happen again.
Exactly. I'll say healthy UConn because it's not healthy in that game. That true. Makes a big difference. True.
Healthier probably than like 80% of their games this year.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I think we've seen AZ Fuck be a very big part of this team on the stretch, and that was not a non-factor in that game. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a much better UConn team that played in that game. Like, that UConn team was still, that was pre-Paige's injury. That was like a Paige Beckers will do it. And if she doesn't, we don't know how we're going to win a game.
Yeah.
UConn team, and I think they're strides beyond that. But I mean, South Carolina, of course, has also gotten better throughout the season. So I think it's good for UConn in a way that game was close, minus that fourth quarter meltdown. So like, they know that if they don't melt down in the fourth quarter, they can win this game. But it's going to be a tough challenge. I think Aaliyah Boston is just been so dominant this year that it's going to be really tough to win that game with the thin third court. I think if we were talking about the UConn team with Dorothy Juhas also coming off the bench, out would be a lot more like, well, UConn has Juhas, they have the depth, like the guards are better, guards win championships, but the front court depth is going to be really difficult.
Definitely. And if UConn's, you know, front court depth does get tested with foul trouble or whatever else, the only way they're going to win this game at that point, I think, is if they're able to sort of attack mismatches and maybe drive, you know, when South Carolina has those two big, you know, whoever's at the four is like 6'5" and you have Avina Westbrook at the four or whoever else for UConn, you're gonna have to find a way to take advantage of that. And I think because you're gonna have to play a lot smaller than South Carolina, I mean really for the whole game,
right,
but a lot smaller for at least 5-10 minutes of this game. And so you're gonna have to find a way to cancel out probably the rebounding advantage that South Carolina is gonna have there with, you know, taking advantage of your own mismatches on the offensive end.
Yeah, and I think part of that for UConn too has to probably be hitting threes. They didn't shoot that great from three last night, but if like AZ Fudd can go off or someone can get really hot from three, that will help them a lot. I think especially because South Carolina is not a huge three-point shooting team, it gives you kind of like that extra point or reposition if you can get some threes out to get knocked down.
Yeah, if you can trade 2 for 3
every
time, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, obviously.
That's our hot take.
Yeah. If you make threes, it usually works in your favor. Yeah. But I think the other thing, like you said, the rebounding is going to be huge. I think so much of what's made UConn be able to win some of these games has been rebounding. And it's also true for South Carolina. They're so good on the glass. These are two really good rebounding teams though going into the game. And I think in a lot of ways, probably who wins the battle on the glass is probably who's going to win the game.
Yeah. And UConn doesn't play very many games, hasn't played very many games where they're not the better rebounding team in the matchup, but they're definitely not the better rebounding team in this matchup. So they'll have to at least hold their own. And then also in terms of the size advantage too, I think just the shot blocking and the length of South Carolina, you know, it's always going to be really hard to score at the rim against them. So that goes back to your point about hitting threes. You can hit threes, you know, it makes it easier because it opens things up and you don't necessarily have to challenge all of those shot blockers at the rim.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So getting to that point, predictions, who are you picking in the national championship on Sunday?
I am going with South Carolina to cut down the nets. I think based on the front court depth that we talked about and the, you know, the foul trouble, the rebounding, all of that, I think it just is going to be too much for you guys. It's UConn obviously could win the game, but I think South Carolina's size is just going to overwhelm in this one.
Fair. I'm going with UConn. I don't really have a great basketball reason for it. I just kind of feel like something about this team, they've overcome like so much this season and getting to this point. Paige Becker's on her like home floor basically. Kristen Williams was just like a player that gets this like look in her eye when she really wants something, and I don't know that anyone's gonna want this championship more than Kristen Williams in her senior year.
Yeah, well, I think in March Madness usually the people who get stuff right are the people who don't have basketball reasons, and the people who have basketball reasons just lose all of their picks and their bracket is terrible. So go with Megan on that one.
Yeah, I mean Gina wins also 11-0 national championship games.
That's a stat.
It's wild. Yeah, it is a stat. So I guess that's a statistical reason. I don't know. I don't think you go 11-1. I think you go 12-0, but we'll see if it'll be UConn taking home their 12th national title, which is just like insane, or South Carolina getting that second one, which would also be huge for the program that's been one of the kind of elite teams for 5 straight, 6 straight years now. And to get that second title would be really big for them as well.
No question.
Right, that will do it. You can follow us all on Her Hoop Stats for the rest of the tournament. We'll have lots of content coming, so stay tuned with us.